This is Oklahoma's Talk Radio, the new Freedom 96.9. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377. Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck.
And good morning. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. If you want to be part of the show this morning, it's pretty simple to do. 405-608-4377. 405-608-4377 is the number to dial. It's 75 degrees at 7:06, and whew, finally, primaries are over. We got a lot to talk about this morning. Who the big winners are, who are the losers, we'll break it all down for you. The minimum wage in Oklahoma, meanwhile, will not raise. What voters said and how loud they said it. Plus, Oklahoma County Detention Center fails yet another expansion. It's the inspection. It's the 12th one in a row. What that means for the embattled facility. Members of the Oklahoma Task Force 1 are headed to Texas to help out with flooding. What they plan to do once they get to the Lone Star State. And a mammoth discovery in western Oklahoma. What we could learn from it. But first, your Freedom's First News headlines on Freedom 96.9. Oklahoma's race for governor is headed to the Republican runoff after no candidate won a majority in Tuesday's primary. Attorney General Gettner Drummond and Trump-backed financial planner Mike Mazie each secured about one quarter of their party's votes, with fewer than 1,300 votes separating them. Drummond got 26.3% of votes. During his victory speech, he promised honesty as the campaign moves forward.
I make you this promise. I will not change my beliefs to win an election. I will not rewrite my principles to satisfy political interests. And I will not tell one audience one thing and another audience something different. You may not always agree with me, but I will never lie to you. I will always lead. I will never waver when it comes to doing the right thing for Oklahoma. My principles don't change when the audience changes. Whether I'm speaking in a town hall, a church, a boardroom, or a coffee shop, you'll hear the same message, because the truth doesn't change.
Mike Mazie secured 25.9% of the vote. He praised supporters for their confidence in him.
No one thought this was possible. The political insiders said we had no chance. We started at zero, but who in here actually had faith we could get the job done and get in the runoff? You did!
Chip Keating took third place, Jake Merrick came in fourth, and former House Speaker Charles McCall came in fifth. On the Democratic side, House Minority Leader Cindy Munson easily won her party's nomination with 74% of the vote. She advances now to the November general election. With Governor Stitt being term limited, the race will determine Oklahoma's next governor. Well, former Oklahoma House Speaker T.W. Shannon has won the Republican nomination for lieutenant governor, avoiding a runoff in a crowded field. Shannon secured enough votes to capture the nomination outright. He'll advance to the November general election, where he'll face Democratic nominee Kelly Forbes.
Thank you to the voters of Oklahoma, because the voters of Oklahoma made a statement tonight where they stood against the nasty negative attacks that happened, and they said no to negative campaigning in Republican primaries. They remembered Ronald Reagan's 11th commandment, that thou shalt not attack another conservative. So thank you to the voters, first of all, for that.
Shannon, a former advisor of the Trump administration and the first black speaker of the Oklahoma House, campaigned on conservative values, economic growth, and government accountability. With Republicans dominating statewide elections in Oklahoma, Shannon now enters the general election as the early favorite. Oklahoma voters have rejected State Question 832, a proposal that would have gradually raised the state's minimum wage from $7.25 an hour to $15 an hour by 2029. The measure failed by a margin of about 58% to 42%, a difference of roughly 16 percentage points. Supporters argued the increase was needed because Oklahoma's minimum wage has remained unchanged since 2009, and workers are struggling with rising costs. Opponents countered that the higher minimum wage would increase labor costs for businesses, drive up prices, and potentially reduce jobs. The vote keeps Oklahoma's minimum wage at the federal rate of $7.25 per hour. Former House Majority Floor Leader John Echols has won the Republican nomination for Oklahoma Attorney General. Echols defeated Secretary of Energy and Environment Jeff Sterling. in Tuesday's primary, avoiding a runoff and advancing to the November general election. The race was closely watched because current Attorney General Gettner Drummond is running for governor, leaving the office open for the first time in years. Eccles, an attorney and small business owner from Oklahoma City, will now face Democratic nominee Nick Coffey in November. Oklahoma County Assessor Larry Stein has won the Republican primary and is on track for another term in office. Stein defeated challenger Ferlin Kearns by a comfortable 16-point margin, receiving about 58% of the vote to Kearns' 42%. The race drew attention after a contentious campaign that focused on property valuations, transparency, and customer service within the assessor's office. Because no Democrat filed for the position, Stein's primary victory effectively secures his reelection and keeps him in charge of overseeing property assessments for Oklahoma County. The race for Oklahoma County Commissioner District 3 is headed for a Republican runoff, and it came down to just 8 votes. Jessica Clayton finished first with nearly 42% of the vote. Alex Warren claimed the second runoff spot with 6,228 votes, edging Wendy Jo Hampton by just 8 votes. Clanton and Warren will now advance to the August runoff election. Results remain unofficial until they're certified by the Oklahoma State Election Board later on this month. Well, the race for Oklahoma County Commissioner District 1 is headed to a Democratic runoff. Incumbent Commissioner Jason Lowe and small business owner Kayla Baker emerged as the top two vote-getters in the four-way primary. They'll face each other in the August 25th runoff election. The winner will claim the seat outright as no Republican candidate has filed to run. Lowe is seeking another term on the county commission, while Baker is hoping to unseat the incumbent and, as she says, bring a new voice to county government. It's 75 degrees at 712. Oklahoma County Detention Center has failed its 12th consecutive state health inspection, raising new concerns about inmate safety and staffing levels. State inspectors cited problems ranging from missed inmate welfare checks and incomplete records to sanitation issues and overcrowding. The report also found gaps in required suicide watch monitoring, including 15-minute checks for high-risk inmates. Jail officials say that they are working to address the deficiencies, but critics argue the repeated failures just highlight the ongoing problems at the facility as county leaders continue planning for a new jail. One person under arrest after Oklahoma City police connected a suspect to a string of armed robberies across the metro. Investigators say several businesses, including convenience stores, were targeted on Tuesday morning. Officers tracked a vehicle believed to be used in the robberies to an apartment complex near Northwest 122nd Street and Green Valley Drive, where a standoff followed. Police eventually took multiple people into custody, but say only one person has been arrested in connection with the robberies. The investigation remains ongoing this morning, and additional charges or arrests are possible. Three people were rescued and one person arrested after a vehicle drove into a pond in northeast Oklahoma City. The incident happened near Northeast 122nd Street and Hiawassee Road. Authorities say three occupants were able to get out of the vehicle and were rescued from the water. A fourth person was taken into custody on outstanding warrants. Emergency crews responded to the scene. No serious injuries were reported. Investigators have not said what caused the vehicle to enter the pond, and the incident remains under investigation. One person is dead after a house fire in southwest Oklahoma City. Firefighters were called to a home near Southwest 44th Street and South Walker Street, where they found heavy smoke and flames coming from the residence. Crews quickly brought the fire under control, but discovered one person dead inside the home. No firefighters were injured fighting that blaze. Investigators are now working to determine just what caused the fire and have not yet released the victim's identity. The state medical examiner's office will assist in the investigation. Oklahoma City is moving forward now with plans for a new multi-million dollar indoor softball facility near Devon Park, home of the Women's College World Series. City leaders say the project will provide year-round space for tournaments, practices, and youth sports while helping to attract more visitors to the area. The proposed facility is expected to strengthen Oklahoma City's reputation as the softball capital of the world and build on the economic impact already generated by Devon Park. Officials say the investment is designed to support continued growth in the sport and to boost tourism for years to come. Members of Oklahoma Task Force 1 are heading to Texas to assist with response and recovery efforts following deadly flooding. The specialized urban search and rescue team, made up of firefighters, law enforcement officers, and emergency personnel from across Oklahoma, was deployed after severe flooding caused widespread damage and prompted evacuations. Task Force 1 is trained in swift water rescues and disaster response and has assisted in emergencies across the country. Officials say the team will help local crews search affected areas and support ongoing recovery operations as those floodwaters recede. A remarkable discovery in western Oklahoma is shedding new light on the state's prehistoric past. This is pretty cool. Researchers working near Elk City have uncovered mammoth teeth and bones believed to be thousands of years old. The fossils were found during an excavation in Beckham County, and they're now being studied to determine their age and what they can reveal about the animals that once roamed the region. Experts say the discovery highlights Oklahoma's rich fossil history and could provide valuable information about the environment and wildlife that existed during the Ice Age here in Oklahoma. Well, the primaries are over, and so are all those nasty mudslinging ads that came along with it. Coming up after the break, let's talk about the results. And did those AI-generated ads leave a bad taste in your mouth? Plus, your dad joke of the day is coming up. Stick around. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic.
Traffic. We now take you to our eye in the sky.
Checking out Freedom traffic on this Wednesday morning. Yukon to downtown, 22 minutes. Norman to downtown, 25 minutes. Edmond to downtown, 21 minutes. And Midwest City to downtown, 23 minutes. Watch out for construction problems. May and Northwest Expressway. Bridge work, I-44 at Southwest 74th. Also on the Kilpatrick, Wilshire to Northwest 122nd.
From wars in the Middle East to conflicts at home, we're the only station you need to stay informed. We're the new Freedom 96.9. Freedom969.com and on the Freedom app.
I'm sure you've heard it 1,000 times or more. All good things must come to an end. And Stevens Ford wants you to know that employee pricing will end soon. If you've been thinking about trading for a new Ford but just kept putting it off, don't miss this money-saving offer. You pay the same price that a Ford employee would pay for any new Ford. Not only is that a low price, but there are so many other money-saving reasons to act now. Like $1,500 off on any Explorer or $1,000 off on F-150. There's just no time to list them all here, so don't miss out. If you've had credit problems in the past, don't let that stop you, because nobody will work harder to get you the credit that you need. Don't wait for tomorrow, because tomorrow never comes. Time is running out. Come to Stevens Ford and Enid today and save.
Hi, this is Jamie with Discount Garage Door, and we've got some amazing specials going on our stock doors. Right now, get an 8x7 garage door installed for just $10.99, a 16x7 for $16.99, or get the door and motor combo for just $23.99. These prices are out the door, installed, and every job comes with a 5-year warranty on all parts and labor. Give us a call at 525-DOOR or visit us at discountgaragedoor.com.
When it comes to freedom, size matters. Your 100,000-watt voice of freedom. The new Freedom 96.9. Freedom969.com and on the Freedom app.
Hey, it's Eric Erickson. I'm coming to Oklahoma City to be with you guys in Freedom 96.9. A free live event this Thursday from 3 to 7 p.m. at 405 Social on North May Avenue. Just a few days after Oklahoma's primaries have finished, we're going to have a lot to talk about. Lee Matthews will be broadcasting live, and we'll have a great time meeting you and answering your questions. More info available now at freedom969.com. Freedom969.com.
Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck.
Good morning and welcome back. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. Taking a quick look at our weather today. Sunshine, very windy, high of 96 degrees tonight. Look for partly cloudy skies, breezy. It's going to be pretty humid, too, with a low around 73 degrees tonight. On Thursday, we'll see variable clouds, maybe some showers and thunderstorms possible in the afternoon, high of 81 degrees. Then on Friday, look for a mix of clouds and sun and a high of 84. Sunshine, 75 degrees at 720. Well, the primaries are over. We can all breathe a collective sigh of relief, at least for a few months. The Oklahoma race for governor is headed to a Republican runoff after no candidate won a majority in Tuesday's primary. Attorney General Gettner Drummond and Trump-backed financial planner Mike Massey each secured about one quarter of their party's votes, with fewer than 1,300 votes separating them. So obviously the general election, that's going to be a very, very tight one too. But the once they go to a runoff, that's going to be a crazy tight election with both of them fighting for the votes that were taken by the other candidates. So if you voted for anybody other than Mike Massey or Gettner Drummond, you can expect to be getting plenty of phone calls and plenty of mailers in the coming months. We can talk about that at 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377 if you want to be part of the show. Also, former Oklahoma House Speaker T.J. Shannon has won the Republican nomination for lieutenant governor. Not really too surprised by that one. TW is a good guy. I think he'll do a really good job. I want to hear your thoughts on that one. And State Question 832 crashed and burned. I couldn't be happier about that one. Let's discuss 832. So voters rejected that measure by approximately 58% to 42%. That's a pretty decisive margin. There was very, very little play there. Oklahoma's minimum wage remains at the federal minimum of $7.25 per hour. That's where it's been since 2009. That's about what Uncle Dave makes right now, $7.25 an hour plus tips here at the radio station. The vote highlights Oklahoma's generally conservative approach to labor and business regulation. Those who were in favor of it, that were in favor of increasing it, they're saying the current minimum wage has not increased in more than 17 years, valid point, while housing, food, healthcare costs have all risen significantly. Full-time workers earning $7.25 an hour make about $15,000 annually before taxes, makes it impossible to afford those basic necessities. But that fosters under the assumption that the people who are making $7.25 per hour are full-time adult employees. The vast majority of people in Oklahoma do not make $7.25 per hour. Those who make $7.25 an hour, generally, they're high school kids or college kids, and they're working their way up. But I think you'd be hard-pressed to find anyone who is making $7.25 an hour and trying to make ends meet as an adult doing that. It's just not the case here in Oklahoma. Oklahoma now remains among the states with the lowest minimum wage in the nation. I don't know if that's necessarily going to impact us positively or negatively. Clearly, we've got a lot of people moving here to Oklahoma. A new study out shows that we are now ranked the 21st largest city in the country. Last year alone, we had more than 6,000 people move here to call Oklahoma home. So clearly, the minimum wage is not scaring people away. Many businesses already pay over $7.25 an hour because of labor shortages, suggesting the increase would have formalized what the market is already doing. I'm a big believer that the market, that business, is much smarter than government. Pretty much anything that government touches, government destroys. Conversely, anything that business touches, things flourish. We've got to trust our business owners to know what they're doing. If they're having a difficult time drawing employees, the answer is simple. You start paying more than $7.25 per hour, but they've got to make a profit too. They don't necessarily need the government telling them what to do all the time. Opponents, a lot of talking points here. So voters rejected what critics are calling the one-size-fits-all mandate on business. Again, that's not a business model that we need. One-size-fits-all does not fit all. Small businesses, particularly in more rural Oklahoma, argued they would struggle with those higher labor costs. And we know that to be the case. Much of Oklahoma is rural, with the exception of a couple big cities, Oklahoma City and Tulsa, plus some of the smaller cities. But the more rural areas, agriculture workers, that kind of a thing, they would struggle with those higher labor costs, and those would be passed along to you and I, the consumer. Opponents warned that higher minimum wage could lead to higher prices for consumers. I think that's absolutely right. Some economists argue that mandated wage increase can reduce entry-level job opportunities for younger, less skilled workers. Don't believe me? Just walk into a McDonald's. Walk into a Walmart, where a lot of those lower-paying jobs have been replaced with kiosks. been replaced with automation. And as we see advancements to AI, we're going to see more and more of that. If employers can save a few bucks by bringing in a computer instead of a high school kid, you can guarantee that's going to be the case. This vote really reflects some of the concerns about government intervention in private business decisions. Anybody who's ever owned a small business knows the biggest hurdle that you face in running a small business is big government across the board. So there are certain political implications here. So the result is clearly a victory for Governor Kevin Stitt and many Republican lawmakers who opposed this measure. Labor groups, progressive organizations suffered a significant setback after successfully getting the question on the ballot and then having it fail. The vote could influence future debates over worker pay, tax policy, and economic development. You can be sure we haven't heard the end of this. This is just the beginning. My guess is at some point they're going to go back. They're going to reevaluate, especially once the economy improves a little bit. They're going to reevaluate, put this on once again, but maybe with a few changes. 405-608-4377 if you want to be part of the show. 405-608-4377 if you want to be part of the show today. 75 degrees under sunny skies at 727. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. We're talking about the ballot measure that would have increased the minimum wage, the state's minimum wage, but wound up failing. And my guess is, again, we're probably not going to hear the end of this. We're probably going to see this come again in some other form, and I would guess sooner rather than later. I think a lot of what turned people off to this, and I count myself among those people, after 2030, the minimum wage would maintain what the economy reflects. So instead of Oklahomans deciding what the state minimum wage will be, that would be dictated by the current economy and largely dictated by what the feds do. And Oklahomans, we've relinquished enough control to federal government through various mandates. We don't have any interest in relinquishing any more control, especially when it comes to something like finances. Republicans are likely to point out the result of this is evidence that voters remain fiscally conservative. Largely, I think voters in Oklahoma, especially in more rural areas, are fiscally conservative, have no real interest in seeing that. Democrats may argue the issue is not going away. Inflation and affordability concerns remain major voter concerns. It'll be interesting to see what happens after President Trump signs agreement on Friday with Iran to see how that impacts the economy. That's a whole different story for a whole different time. From what I've seen about and the details still haven't been released on this agreement with Iran. My suspicion is the details are not very good, that Trump did not negotiate a very good deal. If he had, he would be touting this deal in the media left and right. Clearly, he's not doing that. He's keeping it very, very close to the vest. But we're going to see some big impacts to the economy coming up, I guess, in the next few days after Trump signs this agreement. Well, a whole bunch more to talk about this morning. The primary elections are over. We'll tell you who won, who lost. State question 832 goes down in flames, failing 58% to 42%. What voters are saying about raising Oklahoma's minimum wage to $15 an hour. The Oklahoma County Detention Center fails its 12th straight inspection. What inspectors found this time around. And Larry Stein wins again as county assessor. We'll have a live interview with Larry coming up just after the break. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9.
USA Radio News. I'm John Summers. The National Hurricane Center issued tropical storm watches in parts of coastal Texas and Louisiana.
The highest risk is going to be central Louisiana, parts of southern Mississippi, but we're still in that slight risk, that 15 to 30% chance across southeast Texas and coastal parts of southern Louisiana.
That's meteorologist Donald Jones with the National Weather Service. Results are tallied across three states following another day of primary elections. Georgia, Alabama, and Oklahoma all held elections Tuesday for the U.S. House, Senate, and governor. Democrats and even some Republicans expressed skepticism about the U.S.-Iran framework agreement set to be signed Friday. California Governor Gavin Newsom's office requested all relevant records related to the Justice Department's probe into him and his wife. From America's News Network, USA Radio News.
This is Noble McIntyre with the McIntyre Minute. One of the most damaging phrases after a car crash is this: it was just a minor accident. Low speed, no airbags, small dent. And yet weeks later, people are still dealing with neck pain, back problems, and injuries that just don't seem to go away. Insurance companies love calling these crashes minor because it minimizes injuries before they ever even look at anyone's medical records. But here's the reality. Your body doesn't care what the bumper looks like. Soft tissue injuries don't show up in photos. They show up over time. I've handled plenty of cases where vehicle damage was minimal, but the injury was very real and very long-lasting. If you're told your case wasn't worth much or that you'd be just fine, don't assume that's true. Sometimes the smallest crashes cause the biggest problems.
If you need me, you can find me at McIntyreLaw.com or call me at 777-7000.
Catch our show, Legal Talk with Noble McIntyre and Jeremy Thurman, Saturdays at 1 p.m. on Freedom 96.9.
And that's your McIntyre Minute.
Freedom local coverage starts now.
From the Freedom 96.9 News Center, I'm Bo B. Kraft. News is brought to you by Health 65. You've worked hard, and Medicare doesn't have to be. Health 65 is making Medicare easy again. Health65.com. Oklahoma's primary election season has become one of the most expensive on record. More than $59 million has been spent across statewide races, with much of that spending in the Republican race for governor. The attorney general race has also seen significant, heavy spending. Analysts say the competition is driving the high costs, with election officials expecting a strong voter turnout as a result. New data shows eviction filings remain high across Oklahoma County. Researchers are reporting more than 17,000 cases over the past year. Advocates say fast timelines and low filing costs contribute to the problem, with many cases involving relatively small amounts of unpaid rent. Officials say tenants often have little time to respond before court. Experts say assistance programs could help reduce evictions. The issue continues impacting thousands of families. Oklahoma is seeing a surge in film and television production thanks to new incentives. Local and state incentives are helping attract productions, and industry leaders are saying the economic impact has reached hundreds of millions of dollars. Additional projects are planned as the film industry continues growing across the state. That's the latest from the Freedom 96.9 News Center on Oklahoma's Talk Radio. Your Oklahoma City Freedom Forecast is next.
Tractor Bob, Tractor Store ain't got no carpet on the floor. Tractor Bob's Tractor Store ain't got no expensive decor.
Folks, have you seen the new Yanmar Zero Turn? How about the Altos track machine or the Bad Boy mower lineup? All packed with power and performance. Let Tractor Bob's help take your lawn care to the next level. Free lifetime powertrain warranty for the month of June. Tractor Bob's, I-240 and Shields.
TractorBob.com. TractorBob.com.
I want to introduce you to a great connection. Stephen Smith, owner of ICS Concrete Coatings in Oklahoma City. Stephen, nobody wants to spend hours cleaning floors, so how does ICS make it easier?
Yeah, our Pentek coatings are incredibly low maintenance. They resist oil, grease, and chemical stains, so spills wipe up easily. A quick sweep or mop keeps your floor looking showroom new, whether it's a garage, patio, or a basement.
That's a huge time saver. So how do these floors hold up over time?
They're built to last. We have a manufacturer lifetime warranty for all of our customers. Our Pentek coatings are 4 times stronger than epoxy, so they stay tough and beautiful for years.
Easy and durable. Love it. Sounds like a dream floor. How can listeners get started?
Just call us for a free estimate. Just one day.
Get a hassle-free floor with ICS Concrete Coatings. Call 405-403-401. It's ConcreteCoatings.com, 405-403-4012, or visit ICSConcreteCoatings.com to get your free estimate today.
Freedom.
Weather. Here's your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast. Today, expect very windy conditions with hot temperatures and plenty of sunshine, reaching a high of 96. Tonight will be partly cloudy, breezy, and humid with a low of 73. Tomorrow will bring variable cloudiness, a few showers, and a thunderstorm. It will be humid in the morning, becoming breezy later on with a high of 81. On Friday, anticipate some sun breaking through the clouds at times with a chance of a thunderstorm in spots and a high of 84. With your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast, I'm meteorologist Jason Catterina.
Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377 on the new Freedom 96.9.
Hello, good morning, and welcome back. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brobeck on Freedom 96.9. 76 degrees under clear, sunny skies at 7:35. That means it's time for your dad joke of the day. Well, you know, Uncle Dave?
Yeah.
Contrary to popular belief, you don't really need a parachute to go skydiving.
No?
No. You only need a parachute to go skydiving twice.
Oh, I get it. I get it. Yeah,
that one crashed like somebody not wearing a parachute.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's check out your Freedom First News headlines on Freedom 96.9. Oklahoma's race for governor is headed to a Republican runoff after a razor-thin primary finish. Attorney General Gettner Drummond led the field with 26.3% of the vote, while Trump-backed financial planner Mike Mazie was close behind at 25.9%. Fewer than 1,300 votes separated the two candidates statewide. During his victory speech, Drummond pledged to continue running an honest campaign.
I make you this promise. I will not change my beliefs to win an election. I will not rewrite my principles to satisfy political interests. And I will not tell one audience one thing and another audience something different. You may not always agree with me, but I will never lie to you. I will always lead. I will never waver when it comes to doing the right thing for Oklahoma. My principles don't change when the audience changes. Whether I'm speaking in a town hall, a church, a boardroom, or a coffee shop, you'll hear the same message, because the truth doesn't change.
Mazie thanked supporters and said the close finish shows Oklahomans are ready for a new direction.
No one thought this was possible. The political insiders said we had no chance. We started at zero, but who in here actually had faith we could get the job done and get in the runoff? You did!
Former Governor Frank Keating's on Chip Keating finished third, followed by Jake Merrick and former House Speaker Charles McCall. On the Democratic side, House Minority Leader Cindy Munson won her party's nomination with 74% of the vote. She advances to November. Governor Kevin Stitt is term limited, meaning that Oklahoma voters will choose a new governor this year. Former House Speaker T.W. Shannon has won the Republican nomination for lieutenant governor, avoiding a runoff in a crowded field. Shannon secured enough support to win outright and now advances to the November general election, where he'll face Democrat Kelly Forbes.
Thank you to the voters of Oklahoma, because the voters of Oklahoma made a statement tonight where they stood against the nasty negative attacks that happened, and they said no to negative campaigning in Republican primaries. They remembered Ronald Reagan's 11th commandment, that thou shalt not attack another conservative. So thank you to the voters, first of all, for that.
Shannon, the first black speaker of the Oklahoma House and former Trump administration advisor, campaigned on conservative values, economic growth, and government accountability. He enters the general election as a Republican favorite. Oklahoma voters have rejected State Question 832, the proposal that would have gradually raised the state's minimum wage from $7.25 an hour to $15 by 2029. The measure failed by a margin of 58% to 42%. Supporters argued the increase was necessary because Oklahoma's minimum wage has not changed since 2009. Opponents warned higher labor costs would hurt businesses, increase prices, and potentially reduce jobs. The vote keeps Oklahoma's minimum wage at a federal rate of $7.25 per hour. Former Oklahoma House Majority Floor Leader John Echols has won the Republican nomination for Attorney General. Echols defeated Oklahoma Secretary of Energy and Environment Jeff Starling, avoiding a runoff and advancing to the November general election. The race drew significant attention because Attorney General Gettner Drummond is running for governor, leaving the office open for the first time in years. Echols will face Democrat Nick Coffey in November. Oklahoma County Assessor Larry Stein is on track for another term after defeating challenger Ferlin Kearns in Tuesday's primary. Stein won nearly 58% of the vote compared to 42% for Kearns. The campaign focused heavily on property valuations, transparency, and customer service. Because no Democrat filed for the office, Stein's primary victory effectively secures his reelection. We'll be talking with Larry Stein coming up in just a few minutes. The race for Oklahoma County Commissioner District 3 is headed to a Republican runoff, and the margin could hardly have been closer. Jessica Clayton finished with nearly 42% of the vote. Alex Warren claimed the second runoff spot with 6,228 votes, edging Wendy Jo Hampton by just 8 votes. Clayton and Warren will now meet in August runoffs. The results remain unofficial until certification later on this month. Oklahoma County Commissioner Jason Lowe and challenger Kayla Baker are headed to a Democratic runoff in District 1. Lowe and Baker emerged as the top two finishers in a four-way primary election and will face each other on August 25th. The winner will secure the seat because no Republican candidate has filed to run. Lowe is seeking a third term, while Baker says she wants to bring a fresh new perspective to county government. 76 degrees under clear sunny skies at 7:41 on Freedom 96.9. The Oklahoma County Detention Center has failed its 12th consecutive state health inspection, raising fresh concerns about inmate safety and staffing. Inspectors cited missed inmate welfare checks, incomplete records, sanitation issues, overcrowding, and failures in required suicide watch monitoring. Jail officials say they're working to correct the deficiencies, but critics argue the repeated failures underscore long-standing problems at the facility and plans move forward for a new jail. One person is under arrest after Oklahoma City police linked a suspect to a string of armed robberies across the metro. Investigators say several businesses, including convenience stores, were targeted on Tuesday morning. Officers tracked a vehicle believed to be involved in an apartment complex near Northwest 122nd and Green Valley Drive, where a standoff followed. Multiple people were detained, but police say only one person has been arrested so far in connection with those robberies. The investigation remains ongoing. Three people were rescued. One other was arrested after a vehicle drove into a pond in northeast Oklahoma City. The incident happened near Northeast 122nd Street and Hiawassee Road. Authorities say three occupants escaped the vehicle and were safely rescued from the water. A fourth person was taken into custody on outstanding warrants. No serious injuries were reported, and investigators are still trying to figure out exactly what caused that vehicle to wind up in the pond. One person is dead after a house fire in southwest Oklahoma City. Firefighters responded to a home near Southwest 44th Street and South Walker Avenue and found heavy smoke and flames coming from the residence. After bringing the fire under control, crews discovered one person inside the house dead. No firefighters were injured. Investigators are working to determine the cause of the fire, and the victim's identity has not yet been released. Oklahoma City moving forward right now with plans for a new multi-million-dollar indoor softball facility near Devon Park, home of the Women's College World Series. City leaders say the project will provide year-round space for tournaments, practices, and youth sports while attracting additional visitors to the area. Officials believe the facility will strengthen Oklahoma City's standing as the softball capital of the world and build on the economic impact already generated by Devon Park. Members of Oklahoma Task Force 1 are headed to Texas to assist with response and recovery efforts following deadly flooding down there. The specialized search and rescue team is made up of firefighters, law enforcement officers, and emergency personnel from across Oklahoma. The team will assist local agencies with search operations and recovery efforts in flood-ravaged communities as waters begin to recede. And a remarkable discovery in western Oklahoma is shedding new light on the state's prehistoric past. This is a really cool story. Researchers near Elk City have uncovered mammoth teeth and bones believed to be thousands of years old. The fossils were found during an excavation in Beckham County. They're now being studied to determine their age and significance. Experts say the find could provide valuable insight into wildlife and environment that existed in Oklahoma during the Ice Age. Oklahoma County Assessor Larry Stein won the Republican primary and is on track for yet another term in office. He joins us live after the break. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic.
We now take you to our Eye in the Sky.
Checking out Freedom traffic on this Wednesday morning. Yukon to downtown 22 minutes. Norman to downtown 25 minutes. Edmond to downtown 21 minutes. And Midwest City to downtown 23 minutes. Watch out for construction problems. May and Northwest Expressway. Bridge work. I-44 at Southwest 74th. Also on the Kilpatrick, Wilshire to Northwest 122nd.
Talking about news and opinions from D.C. to OKC. We're Oklahoma's talk radio. The new Freedom 96.9. Freedom96.9.com and on the Freedom app.
Your favorite new and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs are at Vance Auto Group in Guthrie, Miami, and Woodward as well. The Vance family takes pride in having one of the highest repeat customer percentages in the region. Perhaps that's because they refuse to use high-pressure sales techniques. Instead, they offer friendly, family-like sales and service with a plethora of new Fords, Lincolns, Buicks, GMC, Chryslers, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Chevrolets. So if you're shopping for a new Ford, Lincoln, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, or Chevrolet, Vance Auto Group has them all at the best prices. And every new and many pre-owned vehicles come with a free engine, transmission, and other powertrain components guarantee. Good for as long as you own the vehicle. Go to VanceAutoGroup.com to shop and save. You'll be glad you did.
With approved credit, see dealer for lifetime guarantee details.
In the military, the mission was clear. You knew what to do. Now, the mission has changed. Stepping into civilian life isn't about finding a job. It's finding your purpose.
I wanted a career that would leverage the skills and discipline I gained in the military. IT just felt right.
My Computer Career offers class schedules that fit into your life and skills in high demand. Put your VA benefits to work. Visit mycomputercareer.edu/CWP to jumpstart your IT career today. An elite CompTIA certification partner. Financial aid is available to those who qualify, including VA benefits.
A small business affirmation from Progressive. Food truck owners, today business will be booming. People will love your new menu and not make special orders. You will not roll your eyes when someone calls it a quesadilla. You will also switch to Progressive to get 30 customizable coverage options and restore your inner peace. See if you can save in as little as 8 minutes at progressivecommercial.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage is not available in all states or for all vehicles and coverage selections.
Celebrating 250 years of freedom. This is Oklahoma's talk radio. The new Freedom 96.9 and Freedom969.com. Our hosts are always right.
The news never stops, and I'm here to cover it all for you, including the breaking news. And we got a lot to cover this week. It's Eric Erickson. Listen live weekdays 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on Freedom 96.9. From the G7 summit to the fallout of the primary results to the Iran deal and so much more, I'll give you in-depth analysis, my opinion. I'll even take your phone calls at 877-973-7425 as we spread freedom right here across Oklahoma on Freedom 96.9.
Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377.
Well, good morning and welcome back. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. Today we'll see sunny skies. It'll be windy, though. High of 96 degrees tonight. Partly cloudy, breezy, humid, low of 73 degrees. On Thursday, some variable clouds, maybe some showers or thunderstorms possible towards the afternoon. High of only 81 degrees. Then on Friday, it's going to be a nice day going into the weekend. Mix of clouds and sunshine with a high of 84 degrees. 76 degrees under clear, sunny skies at 7:48 this morning. Well, Oklahoma County Assessor Larry Stein won the Republican primary, and he's on track for another term in office. Stein defeated challenger Ferlin Kearns by a comfortable 16-point margin, receiving about 58% of the vote to Kearns' 42%. The race drew quite a bit of attention after a contentious campaign that focused on property valuations, transparency, and customer service within the assessor's office. Now, because no Democrat filed for the position, Stein's primary victory is effectively securing his reelection and keeping him in charge of overseeing property assessments for Oklahoma County. Larry's joining us live now on Freedom 96.9. Good morning, Larry. Congratulations, man.
Well, thanks very much. I don't know who wrote that story. The actual numbers were 76-23.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and which I'm very happy with. And thank you, voters, for your confidence in me. The other thing is that I do have an election in November. The other side has put up a candidate, so I'll be campaigning all the way through to November.
Did not realize that.
I don't know. I was really, really proud of getting 76% of the vote. It started out with the early voting of 81%, and it stayed very a wide margin, and I'm extremely excited about that. I hope that means that the voters trust me to do the right thing. I've been out campaigning really, really hard, and in fact, I've got a presentation today to a group of realtors, and I really appreciate the realtors who who understand the significance and the importance of what the assessor's office does to provide the funding for the schools and the jail and all the other essential services all across the county. We're the largest county, and it's important for us to keep growing.
Yeah, I know this this campaign, this one for some reason got pretty nasty at times. Mr. Kearns was, there was a point where he did an entire video where he said nothing but referring to you as No Spine Stein, and didn't really talk much about what his plans were should he take over the office, but it seemed like there was just a lot of nastiness in this particular campaign.
Well, you know, I don't think that I did that, and I was very shocked and surprised when he was trying to blame me for the deaths at the jail. I mean, I don't operate the jail. I can help fund the jail, and we did a great job of making sure that we funded the jails that was short of funds. They were spending too much, and they came and they asked for additional funds, and we provided those funds. But we did approve a budget for the jail for the rest of the year that saved taxpayers $1 million. And then we also were able to fund the jail for next year because of the available funds. But, you know, the budget in the county is not growing as fast as we need to because of inflation and the costs of hiring people. The county, the most important thing, the most expensive thing that we do is fund services through people. And we're having to compete with big business. We're having to compete with some of the top companies in the region for making sure that we keep our employees, and that means we have to compete in salaries and benefits. And we, you know, that costs money, and we're just trying to make sure that we can keep the best people doing a great job. And I've got a great staff. We've earned a perfect score on the annual audit, the performance audit from the tax commission, and we're probably one of the best in the state, if not the republic, with great people who are friendly and not knowledgeable, and I get accolades all the time from my staff, and I appreciate, this is really their victory. I mean, they're the face of the county, of the county assessor's office. They're the ones that are out there every day doing the great work, and I'm just lucky to be part of that whole team.
Oklahoma County Assessor Larry Stein joining us. It is 7:52 on Freedom 96.9. You and I have talked several different times. There's sort of a push nationally and statewide to do away with property taxes altogether. And I know that you would love nothing more than to shut down your office and close down and never have property taxes again, but that's just not realistic, is it?
No, it isn't. And remember, the foundation of society in Oklahoma, the first government is county government. In 65 counties across the state, that's the essential services of providing the sheriff, security. You can't call 911 in parts of the state and expect a police officer to come there because they don't have a police department available. It's the sheriff that's providing that. They've got a place to put bad guys in their jail. We've got all the secure documents and everything else at the county where you can go to court and you can prosecute bad guys and put them in jail. The dilemma is, for 100 years, the legislature's had a property tax. Every state has property tax. And be very careful when you read those stories. In other states, they're not eliminating property tax. Ohio came out with a one-time plan to be able to give property tax relief of $341 million. Whoop-de-doo. Oklahoma County residents are saving more $400 million this year in property tax cuts because of plans the assessors have presented to the legislature. Statewide, that's $1.7 billion of every property owner saving money in Oklahoma because of property tax cuts that have already been approved. People in Oklahoma don't realize that we're among the lowest, if not the lowest, in property taxes anywhere. And these other states, when they're talking about it, the bottom line is they're just shifting the burden to other people. They're not getting rid of property taxes because in Oklahoma, it's the largest funding source to do what? Educate our children. If we need to change the way we educate our children, we've got to do a better job because we're rated 50th in that too. So how do we educate our children using the available funds? And if you're trying to figure out a way of ending property taxes, you're going to have to replace $6 billion. That's half of the entire state's general fund budget. In other states, they've got billions of dollars. Texas's budget, when they're trying to adjust property taxes, they've got a $344 billion budget. How do we compete with that?
You don't. So in your office, Larry, you've over the time that you've been a county assessor, you've incorporated a lot of technology. You've made a lot of changes to what you're doing online. Kind of talk to me a bit about that and how that's made things more streamlined.
Well, in many areas, you're looking at deputy assessors that are going out, and we're required to go out and visit every property in the state, in the county, at once every 4 years. I've been trying to work with the legislature to let us use technology so we can avoid that and save more money. Because of our technological use of all this data that we collect and we're required to collect, we have the tax commission estimates if we didn't use our technology, we'd need 52 more employees to collect all the data and keep all of our records. Because we have 52 fewer employees, I'm saving more than $14,000 every day by having reduced salaries, reduced benefit costs, and reduced risks to the employees that are out there every day. They're in their own cars. We pay them a per diem for travel. That's one of the most expensive things we do in our office. But the technology saves us $5 million in reduced salaries and benefits every year because we can use technology. And I thank my colleagues that are on the budget board. They're the ones that help us use that technology, and they're also using it to be able to monitor things and manage things and data that they couldn't do before because of the technology we've introduced to the entire county. And almost every other county in the state is trying to attempt to use more technology to reduce their costs. And we've done a great job of being able to do that with a fantastic staff that is friendly and available and is understanding for the concerns of people. But, you know, we're always trying to do a better job and use more technology to reduce our costs. And we'll continue to do that if I get elected.
Like, for example, you wanted to use drones.
No, we didn't want to use drones.
Oh, I thought you wanted to use drones.
We don't. No. Actually, the same things. Google Earth has all sorts of wonderful, fantastic aerial images, and we use those to determine where there's any changes in the outside of the building. Right now, 70% of all of the structures in Oklahoma County haven't changed, some of them in more than 100 years. I can use, through artificial intelligence, I can determine if there's a change, and I could avoid having to send our employees out to manage to physically step on every parcel as the statute requires. I'm asking the legislature, I've asked them for 6 years, change it to visual inspection and physical inspection. Physical inspection for the first time, and then after that we can monitor the outside of their things with just the aerial images. They won't do it because they think that it's drones. It's not. It's airplanes, fixed-wing manned aircraft. It's the only way to get a precise image, and I wish the legislature would let me say, I figure I could save another $50,000 if they'd change the law to add visual and physical inspection to the statute and avoid the cost of saying, I've had employees threatened with a firearm. I don't need them to go out unannounced, but just as police officers and sheriff's deputies are required to do their duties on land and have the right to go onto private land to do their job, so do assessors staff. And I want to avoid that, and I don't want to be the first assessor to have to go to a funeral for a staff member who's shot because they're doing their job. And I wish the legislature would focus on the safety and also property rights to prevent unannounced visits, as we are required to do. You know, just like a sheriff's office, if they get a call from somebody, they're going to enter their property. They're not going to be looking at a no trespassing sign. They're going to try and find out what's wrong. The same thing happens with other governmental entities, and we're one of them. We're required to enter properties to do our job under the Constitution.
County Assessor Larry Stein. Again, congratulations, man. It was good talking to you. I'm sure we'll talk to you again really, really soon.
I hope so. Thanks, Aaron.
My pleasure. And thank you for joining us on Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. Coming up later on today, we'll be hearing from Brian Kilmeade at 8 o'clock. Eric Erickson's in at 11 o'clock. And don't forget, he'll be joining us live in Oklahoma City on Thursday. You'll want to be part of that. Dana Lash will be in at 2 o'clock. And then Lee Matthews with The Drive coming up at 4 o'clock. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. Have yourself a great Wednesday.